listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, November the 1st. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here, Michael. We took a week off and it felt like a year. Glad to be back.
So glad to have you back. I know we go one Wednesday without doing the broadcast and this gathering, and it's kind of puts you off for a bit.
It does. Ruins my whole rhythm.
Well, thank you to those joining us live. We appreciate you. We've missed you. We're so glad to have you back. And we thank those that catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Of course, we'll begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Mira! Sorry.
It's always right when we're into the show. I've told Michael before that it's like having children. You could be quiet for the whole day, and then you get on the phone with a friend, and suddenly all the kids want you. It's like this unavailability, and they go bonkers suddenly. So I'm giving Michael a chance to recover. Oh, well.
I think we got it. It's not her fault. The neighbor dog is barking. So we have to cut her some slack.
Yeah.
Well, back to our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, we're going to have an interesting topic. Dr. Vicki, this was your suggestion, and I think it's really interesting, synchronicity.
Well, let's first of all define what synchronicity is. And, you know, I have looked up kind of a few things on Google, of course. It was first introduced by Carl Jung. As a concept, specifically the occurrence of meaningful coincidences that seem to have no cause. And the underlying idea is that there is unity and diversity and incidents of spiritual significance that ask us to momentarily dampen our self-obsession and consider the possibility of the divine. You know, and there's... like an example, and again, I'm just pulling things up thanks to Google, seeing a vivid image or daydreaming about something that comes true shortly thereafter. You know, that's a kind of thing. Or when seemingly unrelated events coincide in improbable ways that have some sort of significance to you. So that's kind of defining what, you know, what we might regard as a synchronicity. And of course, I want to say too, though, a lot of people I've talked to in my lifetime think that some things are synchronicity, and I don't see it that way. I see it more as random.
Right.
And just what we want to read into something. But I recently, and some of you know this, I recently had very recently had an experience that was what I call absolute synchronicity. So if y'all indulge me for a moment here, on my birthday, back last Wednesday, which is why we were not together, my daughter gifted me and I'm going to read what I actually posted on Facebook. My daughter gifted me a framed photo of my late brother, saying she realized I don't have any pictures of him on my shelf. So it was this photo from many years ago. What she didn't know is that this was taken on my birthday, and it was the last photo of him ever taken in 1985, and 23 days later he left us. So what I also go on to write here, it seems fitting to say that my brother's only child was also born on October 25, a few years before that picture was taken. Matter of fact, he was 3 years old, and that we share the same birthday. And just a couple of years ago, I learned that a half-sister I didn't know about was also born on October 25th. And so she would have been one when that picture was taken of me and my brother. So what's weirder is that her and I share the same middle name. So I said cosmic moments. Now, I lost touch with my brother's son when he was about 17. And, of course, I couldn't find his mother anymore, likely married. And I had written, I've kept a lot of old pictures of him, of my brother, and things for his son, should we ever cross paths, or if a family member finds him after I leave. And still, I'll put it out there. And I put his name and his birthday. And if anybody out there knows where he is, because truly, I have looked for over 20 years for this kid. And, you know, again, that was, you know, that picture was 38 years ago. So, within an hour, everybody, thanks to certain algorithms, I've learned more about algorithms, by the way, particularly on Facebook. One of my clients / Facebook friends actually found my nephew. And I went, what? Everything lined up. My daughter giving me that picture, posting it on Facebook, you know, putting it out there. There's a weird cosmic thing going on here. And him being found in that day. Now that, Michael, is a synchronicity. If I've ever seen one, you know, how everything kind of fell into place. And yes, the next day I actually spoke with my nephew. We had a really good long visit. He was driving from one city to another, so he had time on his Wi-Fi, on his Bluetooth. And it's unbelievable. Now, what's even crazier, he has the same voice as my brother, the same inflections of tone as my brother, same attitude. He has same one-liners. Now, he was 3 years old when my brother passed. So it took me a couple of days to process this. It's like, whoa, that's big. But as the story is a little deeper, like that in and of itself, finding him after all these years is like crazy. That's where cosmic setup, synchronicities, that's a whoa.
Yeah. It makes me think a lot about the entanglement, which I think is something that kind of goes hand in hand with it. And
I agree. Well, here's a weirder entanglement, Michael. My half-sister that I just came to know over the last few years, having been born on October 25th, is 2 years younger than my nephew. She ended up, again, of course I didn't know she existed, but she ended up in foster care and on the streets. So she's a street kid. Went to inner city schools. You know, it was rough. And, you know, they got their crews and stuff. Now, she eventually cleaned up, became a social worker, great job, married, has a son. and moving on. It's good for her. Well, as she's looking at pictures on Facebook of my nephew's on his site, she wrote to me and said, "We know some of the same people. I know the crew that he ran with." So over here, my nephew had a rather tragic childhood, ended up on the streets, kind of a gangster, inner city, knows all these people that she knows, and they probably have met each other, of course, unknowingly to each other, and he got clean and sobered up and straight a few years back. So, you know, both of them, a good story in, you know, in the evolution of their lives. But talk about an entanglement of these two young people, related, don't know they're related. And it's not like, oh, you both work in the same building or something. It's like these are street kids. You know, like these are absolute street kids that they had a similar path. They had a similar life, which now here's the other, you know, part of the triangle is my nephew was living my brother's life. So to back up, we came from, as you well know, a violent childhood. My brother became an independent biker and knew a lot of the biker clubs, ran with a lot of them, including the Hells Angels. I might add, just to throw that in there, because that's another important part of the story. And so, you know, a tough life, really good side of my brother. There's the other side of my brother. So when my nephew was a teenager and his mother, you know, when he's around her, with some kind of, you know, certain characters, they'd be at an event and a lot of these bikers would say, "Oh, you're so-and-so. Your dad was a good man." So he met a lot of people that my brother knew, but of course didn't know the story because nobody would tell him. And so all this entanglement going on, but he went on to live an, you know, kind of independent street life as well. Really intelligent guy, probably way smarter than my brother, I might add. Very world aware, loves history. And yes, he's a borderline dyslexic. My brother was severe dyslexic, you know. And it's just, you see all these threads. It's like I have this visual of a tapestry where all these threads are kind of running parallel to each other and entangled. And again, these synchronicities that here we are now, of course, I'm considerably, like I have kids their age, older than them, and how we three have the same birthday.
Yeah, it's, that is interesting, isn't it?
It's to me, it's just mind-boggling. It almost is good enough for a book, I think. But Jerry's written in the chat, Soul Family, and she said they meet when the timing is right. You know, Jerry, I absolutely believe that. I believe in the Soul Family. I think that there are many of us who just know each other, and my late teacher Frank would say the same thing. He said he believed in the clusters of souls and soul families, and when the time is right, they come together, you know, and they meet up.
That's an interesting thought. Is that idea of the cluster of souls and the soul family involved in reincarnation?
Yeah, and I think it's bigger than that, Michael. It's when a cluster of souls comes to the earth and stays within this frequency of Earth and reincarnates until it leaves this frequency and goes to a different realm or a home planet. I don't know which, but that's kind of the sense I have of it. But reincarnated and meeting each other in many lifetimes, yeah, that happens too.
That's an interesting theory.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the idea of reincarnation is one that has, it has some drawbacks to certain people when it comes to, you know, the intimate relationships that we have with one another and the notion that it could devalue that. I think this is something that kind of goes along that line of it's not necessarily devalued. It's that it, the, you know, of course we have to say it's not a stance of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism, but because we don't know. But the idea of reincarnation, I think it's a very fascinating one, and I think that familiar relationships can potentially carry over from existence to existence. I was going to think totally. About it that way.
Mm-hmm. You know, Zoran has written in the chat, he said, it's interesting for him that last week exactly, several of his unconnected friends posted Jung's quote, synchronicity is an ever-present reality for those who have eyes to see. So finally I bookmarked it in order to remember, and now we have the topic. See, that's a synchronicity.
You know, when you were talking about this topic, it made me think of yesterday. I've been driving home from work, and while I'm driving, I'm thinking I need to check in on a friend of mine who, you know, we've had a mutual friend that was going through a rough spot, and so I wanted to check in on him and how he's doing. So I, tell Siri to call this person, and it's doing that, and then I see incoming call. I mean, how did that happen? From the same person. And so he was calling me at the same time that I was calling out to him. That was going to be my story of synchronicity, but I feel like that one falls short of these examples.
I don't know. I think that's
change.
Also telepathy, you know, an entanglement.
Yeah.
Where you're connected in your super conscious kind of thing. And or you think about somebody and the phone rings. I think there are other explanations that, kind of along the line of telepathy is what I'm thinking. But it's still a form of synchronicity, you know.
I'll take it. I'll take telepathy, too. I'm going to start calling myself Professor X.
Hmm. So I think that synchronicities are occurring, again, all the time. And I'm with, and thanks for that, Zoran. It's like, I agree with Jung. It's just if you're going to see it, the problem is we do sometimes read too much into it. And then people get kind of carried away saying, oh, the universe, you know, the universe told me, or the universe set this up, or something. But I don't know. You know, I think when it does happen, you know it. You know, it's like, you know that that's a synchronicity, because that had nothing to do with me except one action caused a domino effect for something to happen almost immediately. You know, and it mm-hmm. wasn't like, oh, next year, and because of something I posted last year, it was all, whoa, like.
Very fast, very immediate in terms of response. That's like, incredible.
Yeah, like, for all the things I like to think I've seen a fair number of weird things in my life, but that's one of the top cases. I went, whoa, that happened fast. That was, so the timing of it, And maybe that is something to do with the universe, but, you know, everything just collided into this moment. And what I can tell you, everybody, is that my heart is happy. And
well,
even,
good.
You know, I expect I'll be talking to him again and carry on. But even if I didn't, to know he's well and doing okay is all that I really ever wanted to know. Because I had, you know, I had promised his mother when he was young not to interfere, which I guess was kind of an error in hindsight. And I would just keep in touch with her. And I missed some of the signs, I'm afraid. I'm busy raising my own kids, doing my own thing, and things were going on I had no idea about. So, but, you know, that's, had I known, of course.
Yeah.
It'd be different.
I mean,
had I known I had a half-sister who's, you know, in care, well, that would have been a no-brainer. I'd have taken them in a heartbeat, you know.
Yeah.
So, but again, that they're living these kind of parallel lives, and I don't know about it until all these years later. It's, whew, you know, it's kind of mind-boggling. I don't know if anybody else has any synchronistic stories. Please write them in the chat. Wendy says, I feel like since cell phones came around, the phone ringing when you think about a person isn't as common. I agree. Totally agree. And, or is it because texting came along so we're not talking on the phone as much? I agree with that too, and that's why I started picking up the phone again with people. They either answer or they don't. And a few of my friends, I'm not texting you to see if it's okay to call you. Like, I think we've gone too far. Is it okay to call you now? Like, come on. So
makes me think of a joke by comedian Gary Goldman, one of the greats. He does this entire bit about the, you know, smartphones, and then he goes to, you know, the phone is the seldom used app on my phone, and if you use it on me without warning, I will be furious with you. You text me to see if I'm even taking calls right now.
I know, and I guess that's because we carry the phone with us. In the old days, you know, your phone's at home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're not carrying your phone with you like a lifeline. So there is something to be said for that. But
true. But I think we are kind of – the pendulum is swinging back the other way. I know that I've been talking on the phone more and would call people more, and they call me more. So it's a – but I think, you know, synchronicity, entanglement, they can, you know, work through texting. Dr. Tabitha, and I was going to wait until we pull the card for you, but just want to say congratulations. Tabitha got her doctoral degree, so want to offer hearty congratulations to you.
Absolutely.
She said hers is texting, and when she's thinking about people, they usually text, which I think it's the same principle. And I think it's the it's a fascinating concept of consciousness and, you know, what potential meaning it could have, you know, that kind of synchronicity, you know, where does that derive from? We talk about the universe, but what is that? I always want to know the mechanics of things, and I think often in this kind of concept or in this topic, it's impossible to know the overall mechanics of it.
Well, I think that we're a way more polluted society in that people don't really communicate, even with texting. Sometimes, you know, a lot of people are just throw their lives on Instagram, TikTok, X, whatever it is that they all do. And so they're not, I know when I found out that my son and his wife were having babies, it was through social media. He never called anybody. Neither of them did. Didn't even phone my daughter to say, hey, we're pregnant. No, that's a social media blast. They go, what? You know? And I think that that's kind of where we're polluting our relationships. You know, they're being watered down and not connecting, where we can see more of these interactions and experience more synchronicities and, you know, and how it is that we're kind of interconnected. And again, entanglement is right up there on the top of the list, Michael. So we're not giving as much attention, you know, focused, devices, distractions. So the living of life keeps us more awake to our environment, our surroundings and events, rather mm-hmm. than through. I mean, I've said this many times, you know, you go and walk by a restaurant and you see four people sitting at a table and they're all on their phones, and I go, what? What?
Yeah, I absolutely understand what you're saying, and I think there's a lot of validity to that. But I think that it can be used like any other form of communication. It can be used well, and it can be used poorly. Social media, electronic communication, and the like. Mm. But I think the difference is there's so much. There's a flood of information. Whereas, you know, like something like this that you would post on social media might have been a newspaper announcement in the past. But even prior to that, I mean, newspapers are relatively recent themselves. So, you know, we've kind of been trending in this direction for a few centuries. But
well, and I'm afraid even because obituaries are too expensive to run in newspapers anymore. You don't even know if somebody's died. So you have to rely on where do they live and what funeral home. I don't know. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. I think it's harder to observe. It has to be really in our faces now. Or if you are awake and self-aware, you're watching for the subtleties. And you know, despite all the devices around, I think it's safe to say the majority of people are just, you know, barreling through life, not paying attention. And, you know, where it's got to hit them in the face and they say, oh, like that's big. Like this thing with my brother, my nephew, that's big. And it hits me in the face, bigger than most. But I'm kind of always watching little synchronicities or nuances in energy. Because I think each of us has our own pathway. And when we get off the pathway, that could be for a week or 10 years or 15 years, whatever it is, you know, there is something that pulls us back into our pathway if we're agreeable, you know, because not everybody's agreeable. You know, it's like, oh, whether it be addictions or marriages or, you know, bad marriages at that, you know, so we're off our path. And when you kind of relinquish that and get back on your true path, and it's, I know that's happened to me, and it's also happened to many people I know where big diversions actually, you know, they were living somebody else's life through a marriage, or, you know, the partner didn't want them to take that job in that town, and then years later they split up and they end up back in the town that they were first offered a job in. You know, those are kind of synchronicities too. In fact, that happened to a friend of mine very recently. 20 years ago, she had been offered to set up a newspaper in Trail, BC. Her husband at the time said, no, I don't want to move there. Well, they moved to other different towns in BC. They split up. Lo and behold, hey, there's a job open in Trail. And she's now the publisher of the Trail paper. So she got back on her path, is what I'm saying, and kind of recovered her life. It's so crazy that it's the same town that was 20 years ago. So that was bizarre. But it was so glad for me to see her living her best life again. So I think there's lots of things that we can see in life that way.
I absolutely agree. But I think you even mentioned this at the very beginning, that there are some events that are just random. And what would you say is the defining characteristic between, you know, maybe an event of synchronicity, of entanglement, and something that is just a random event in the chaos of existence?
You know, I would have answered that question differently 20 or 50 years ago. Now, I think far more things are just random. You know, I think 50 years ago there was fewer cars on the street. And if you got, you know, fender bendered, maybe it's because you were supposed to meet that individual. You know?
Yeah.
Now it's, you know, I think I watched three people go through red lights today. So how then can you say, I think it's just by the grace of some spirit gods that they didn't get smushed. Like, I'm saying, oh, they got angels looking out for them, because that was an accident absolutely waiting to happen.
Oh, I'm sure that they were, texting or looking at their phones.
No, they just want to get through the red light and smell, you know, put the gas. So I think that how are things random now? I think more things are a little more, this is just my opinion, of course, a little more chaotic. And so many distractions. I think that's the problem. And our neural pathways are being routed differently. And at least I see that a lot in young people. And it's not just because they're not trained or don't have skills. They actually do think differently.
Yeah.
And so it's how then, what is the randomness of random? I don't know. I just think it's too busy. I think that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of it's, you know, in our face now, and obviously with the explosion in population, there's so many more opportunities for these different things to happen, just like you said. I do agree that the new generation coming up definitely probably thinks differently based on the environmental factors that they were exposed to, the different ways in which people communicate. And I think that's just a natural, natural part of being human and how we evolve.
Sure, and I think people, even in my generation, thought differently than the generation before. I mean, we all do learn. We're exposed to different things. I still have a hard time with some software. Young people say, well, that's easy. That kind of thing. Whereas we didn't have a television in my house till I was like 8 or 9. So I was trying to get the rabbit ears and tinfoil to get, good reception.
I remember that.
And my, parents were, kind of, how do we work this? So to me, I just caught on easier. So, and I think every generation has its own thing. My point is that the air was clearer, meaning it was simpler. We had, at least you could look at sociology and you could say most people were agreed across the board to behave a certain way. People would eat with a knife and fork and, soup with a spoon. And I sit in a restaurant now and I see people jabbing stuff with a knife and eating with a knife and go, whoa, we're not doing that anymore. So where is the uniformity?
Been hanging around those biker gangs?
Yeah. No, it's just weird that I think some uniformity has gone on. Of course, we're a real blend of culture now, all this other diversity, and I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. But as a culture, we're not as unified as it seemingly felt like, 50 years ago. So.
Which I think itself was an aberration. I think that we had this little kind of window, this bubble around the post-war period where things were just different than they had been prior. And I think we're kind of going back to that. That's my amateur take as a wannabe historian.
Well, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's true. It's just different. So I don't know. I challenge anybody and maybe you have stories by next week when we get together. It's something synchronistic in your life or some, kind of observe it. So that's my challenge to you is to be really observant of connections or entanglements that little tiny events and report back. I think that I'd love to hear those stories and I'll keep you updated on my nephew and half sister.
Yeah, please do.
Shared birthdays.
Yeah, I think that's we're going to send you off with some homework, but very much looking forward to any stories that any of you are willing to share. I think this is a fascinating topic, and it makes you think about the connections that we have with one another in life. And I think the one thing that we can really pull from this conversation is that the millennial generation is probably the best generation. I mean, we had the rotary phones. We knew about things before the internet, but we also were like the daywalkers. We know how to adapt to the technology of the modern era, but can speak to the older generations. So we're the balance, the key.
Please.
The key best of all worlds kind of generation.
I'm going to call you on that one to say we are the most amiable, flexible, enduring generation. Thank you very much, Michael.
You're talking about millennials also? I didn't catch that. Sorry, what were we saying? Millennials are the most flexible and enduring?
We have a lot of names in our chat because it's been a
we
couple
do.
Of weeks
yeah.
That we've been, since we pulled some cards, I know even Kevin says, I would like an uplifting. Well, I'm glad you feel that's what it is. So let's get started. And I think Tabitha, she, our new Dr. Tabitha, I think she threw her name up there first. And I hope you've been writing names down too. So if I get a name or two out of place here, Michael, catch me on it.
Yeah, we'll police each other. But our newly minted Dr. Tabitha. For you, I have number 25, Power of Belief. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy and proceed with caution.
Well, I pulled the what I call the only marriage card in the deck, Tabitha. But what I also see it as is not literal marriage, but it can be promises, partnerships, relationships of commitment, any kinds of commitment. So the power of belief is really around how you're relating and feeling that comfort, the comfortability. And, you know, if there's some things in there that need addressing, then you address them. But it's believing in it. You know, I want to throw this out there for some reason. Some of you might, you know, catch on. I, many years ago, asked a lot of elderly people, couples, you know, what kept you together and married for like 50 years or 40 years or whatever it was, 60 years. And the answer inevitably came back the same. Well, I didn't think about being anywhere else. It was that simple. And I think that's in that power of belief, knowing that you are where you belong. And but they were all clear to say, oh yeah, well, you know, we had some hard days too, but we got through it because I couldn't imagine myself anywhere else. So I don't know what that might mean to you, Tabitha, but you know, I'll just throw that out there. So all right, we have Edward next. Dr. Edward.
All right, Dr. Edward, for you I have number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Well, you got a balance card here, Edward. When I say the Two of Diamonds, and a two is always a follow through, active kind of number and energy. But when it has the diamonds, it's, you know, juggling maybe some finances or properties, investments. I don't know. It could be, you know, how you're budgeting or something, and it's negotiating in that way. So it's knowing that you're safe, that you're okay, you got food, shelter, and, you know, again, empowerment that way. But I would also say maybe you have a little extra here, and what do you want to do with that? So yes, it's a good one. I want to thank you, Tabitha, for your feedback, and it touched me here for a second. She said it was exactly where she is and what she needed to hear right now, and it makes sense. Thank you. Thanks for saying that. Okay, Michael, I think we have Jerry, who's not too far from being a Dr. Jerry, I might add.
I'm looking forward to that, and we're going to have Jerry with us in a couple of weeks as well, so looking forward to that also.
Good.
Jerry, for you, I have number 22, Think for Yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Well, I think you're about to take a leap of faith, Jerry. Now, it's been so long since I pulled this card, and I know it's not going to freak you out. It might freak others out, but it doesn't me. And think for yourself, and I got the death card, which is birth. So it's the ending of something and the beginning of something new. And that thinking for yourself is that leap of faith. And it's like you're embarking on a new journey. You know, an owl came and sat on the lamppost across the other morning as I was having my coffee, and I don't see them ever. And an owl, when an owl comes to you, it's like it can be death, but it's also change and beginning and intuition. And that's kind of what comes to me for you in this, Jerry. I think you're opening some new doors, and be yourself, absolutely.
I love it.
Kevin.
All right. And Kevin, looking for an uplifting card. I think we can help out. Kevin, I have the first wild card of the evening, wild card number 2, and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
So, I got the 8 of spades, Kevin, and I said, well, what's that about? Because that's an intuition card, where it's kind of confined or constrained, and what do you do? Is you got to follow your intuition, your instincts. And so I said, I got to get clarity on this, and I pulled the 6 of hearts. Has everything to do with family, relationships, and then some. What I'm inclined to want to say is taking the emotionality out of things. Step back for a second. Feel it. And what does your sensory perception say? How are you called upon right now? What is it that you need to do in your part to improve communications and improve kind of events that may be unfolding at the moment? So, Wendy just said, you had that card back in April and then again in August. So that's how I'm reading this, is the when it comes to the people in your life, the most important people, Kevin, is follow your gut, not your emotion. I know that's hard to do. We all have stress moments, right? Or we're kind of convoluted in our heads, or we have a certain way of seeing things, but we have to just stop. I always say push the pause button. What is it I need to see here, and then move forward. I think it's a really empowering card, provided you use your intuition. Awesome.
Love
we
it.
Have Dr. Deb next, I think.
All right. And Dr. Deb, for you, I have number 14, Energy Shift, New Chapter. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open the chapters in one's life. It is an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
So with the 6 of spades, what that is you're getting there. It might feel a little bit arduous. Might feel a little pressure, cumbersome, but the destination is in sight. So what this is saying, with the energy shift, this new chapter of life, sometimes we it's more than we bargained for, Michael. Like, I had no idea this was involved.
So true.
But it's that keep going, even in challenging yourself and learning new things. So that's what I want to say to you, Deb. It's a really good shift, but there's some days when you might feel a little tired and overwhelmed. It's all right, though. All right. Kevin, I believe, is next.
Well, we pulled Kevin. If I'm not mistaken, we had the wild card number 2 for Dr. Kevin. I think we have Wendy next. Is that?
Yeah, we do.
Sound right?
Yep.
All right.
So are you pulling for Wendy or Kevin? Kevin is next.
Well, didn't we already pull for Kevin? The wild card number 2?
Oh, sorry. I had his name down twice and I was...
Oh, it's because he clarified.
No. Sorry.
I was questioning myself for a second there.
I lost my mind.
But... all right, well, we do have Wendy next. And Wendy, our card keeper herself, for you I have number 29, Pay It Forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
9 of hearts, Wendy. Abundance, replenishment. I think that what this is saying is there's a it's like reciprocated energies at work. So you're giving forward, but you're receiving in ways you hadn't imagined. And you're going to have those, I think, synchronistic moments of saying, whoa, that's new. So I think that's kind of what I'm seeing here. Abundance is you're in a good place. And just, of course, I don't need to remind you about, you know, gratitude and feeling good about it. You know, but it also is about being gracious when people give to you. So, you know, we all need to be gracious in giving and gracious in receiving, because that's love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can say that, Wendy, I definitely get that vibe off you, that you are gracious. And we've always appreciated that about you. So thank you,
you know,
that.
I've got to say, some of this feedback today is, I thank you very much. Jerry said that, ooh, those cards were perfect for her at this point while she's on a new adventure. And Kevin, I want to thank you for that. He's just been an estranged daughter reached out to him, and so he's going to try. And, you know, that's that whole thing about, you know, just stop and push the pause button and go by your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So those are amazing kind of testimonials. Thanks,
Kevin. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for that feedback. And Dr. Kevin, really helpful for you.
Yeah.
All right. And Jeff. We have Jeff, for you, I have number 20, a lot of 20s tonight, deliberate intent. Let's see. The simple act of intention registers your wants with and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It is not magic, and it requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
I got the Jack of Clubs, so that Knight of Wands in tarot language is somebody who likes to bring change, likes to educate, has kind of a, you know, a more youthful energy, so you might be feeling a little bit rejuvenated and energetic. So it's like, focus your intent, Jeff. And, you know, if you've got some good energy going on right now, yeah, he's saying, yeah, ride that good stuff. But it's also, I want to say it's a communicator, because, you know, clubs are of changes, and they like to bring change. So I suspect my sense here is you might be helping to educate others or support others, and it's what you have to say is helpful. And so that's my feeling about this. But stay focused, deliberate intent, and it's going to go good. Yep.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Oh, we have Zoran. Zoran next.
All right. And for you, I have number 31, Sacred Obligations. Oops. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations. Oh, wow.
Wendy, did you see that?
Yeah. Our card keeper, Wendy, said that Zoran had this card last week. Talk about a repeat.
Whoa. That's a synchronicity.
It is. It absolutely is. Especially because I didn't even have a card ready. I had missed Zoran and had pulled that one right off the top of the deck.
Well, I'd have to go back and say it was, okay, I've got my sheet here. Last week, Zoran, it was the Emperor in support of sacred obligations. And today you have the Eight of Diamonds, so that Eight of Pentacles is, I always see the Eight of Pentacles as an apprenticeship. You're learning on the job, learning as you go. You're still being creative, but you're continually learning. So sacred obligations is really about staying true to those really important ethics and moralities that you have, and yet you're opening your mind while you're living life, perhaps at your job, at your work, and incorporating all that you learn into new ways of being. So that's, yeah, she says, oh, it wasn't last week, it was 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
we didn't have a show.
Touche.
Yeah, yeah. Correction, backspace, delete. So I think that, I think you're on a learning curve, Zoran, is what I'm thinking here. And sacred obligations is maybe revisiting what you believe and having a clarity to them, and then how they act out in daily life. So that emperor, of course, is being your own guy, knowing who you are, and but being the humanitarian as well, because that's the evolution of the emperor. And here it is. It's like, whoa, there's a whole new application for yourself, you know, as you live your daily life. So that's exciting. It is exciting.
Very exciting. I like it.
It doesn't mean it's easy, everybody.
So very few things are.
You know, one of the things that I learned when I was talking to my nephew, and he was explaining, you know, things about himself, and I'm asking him questions, like, who is he, right? And I was struck by how forgiving he is. And even to his abusers, you know, and how he's run into them, and he just held his head high and shook the guy's hand. And I thought, whoa, of course, that's the ultimate power play, isn't it? Like, yeah, because you expect people to come out swinging, and he is, no. And, you know, it's the ultimate power, like, you can't hurt me. So I'm the boss of me. But what struck me is how forgiving he is, and in his spirit. And I thought, I'm not so forgiving. Michael, I had to really own something about and start to meditate on what is it to hold a grudge. What is the difference between not forgetting where damage has occurred versus what is holding a grudge? And I'm still working on ways to articulate that, and maybe that's something we can talk about next week. You know, what is that forgiveness and healing and holding a grudge? What is it to hold a grudge? I'd love to have that discussion.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And how do we overcome that? You know, my content, I think there's a difference between, yeah, well, you know, this happened and I don't want you hanging at my house anymore. You know, that's making a decision. A friend of mine, Susan, said, yeah, when something bad happens, you know, you say, well, I won't do that again, or I won't see them again, and forget about it. She said, when you think about it again, that's holding a grudge. Well, I had to think about that. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's a thought.
I do think there's a difference between holding on to something like in the fashion that you would a grudge and just not forgetting. And,
yeah,
you know, there's a couple of things that come to mind. One is the grudge that my cat is holding against me for, I assume, not bringing treats to her. But I don't know if that's coming over the mic, but she is meowing something pitiful in the kitchen.
That's funny.
Nope, she's walked to the office now, so... the other thing that comes to mind is obviously the intense grudge that you hold against me for how I make fun of how you say process and how you've banned me from Canada. So I think that's pretty hefty. I keep trying to come in, but the Mounties keep stopping me at the border and they say, nope, Vicky said no.
Vicky said no.
But no, I think it's going to be an interesting discussion. I think there are a lot of facets, and I think there is value to letting go of something and to... letting go, forgiveness is a battle of semantics.
That's a discussion in itself.
Yep, isn't it though? So, yep, I think better left for the excellent discussion we'll have next week.
Yes, I look forward to it.
But
thank you again for all the feedback, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even Zoran mentioning that I'm glad they, you know, you can connect with the messages here and I'm really glad that we're all back, and happy birthday to me. I'm still here, not far from 70, and I'm saying woohoo. But I think there's a few of you out there who can totally relate.
Well, so happy to still have you with us. Expect to have you for another 70 years. I know I'm going to be around 70 years from now, but but and just so thankful to be back. So happy to see everybody, and can't wait to see you next week. And as we kind of wrap up this evening's topic, any last thoughts, Dr. Vicki?
No, just don't let them get you down. Oh, there are people, lots of people are going to run red lights. Just stay awake and go slow.
I love it. I love it. Well, until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.